shaken. All right, we're going to shake, rattle, and roll here in the Word of God. A lot of people are confused by 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, whereby it stipulates there was an earth age before this one, and this one itself will be destroyed, the elements, that is, by fire. And this really shakes a lot of people up because they don't understand the word elements. God is not angry at those that serve Him. God is not angry at those that love Him. Elements is stanchion in the Greek, and it means rudiments. Everything that is evil will be burned. Everything that is evil will be done away with. Not that that our Father loves. He's coming here to establish a kingdom. Therefore, if you serve Him, when it speaks of a great shaking or a destruction, you don't have to worry about it. Your Redeemer draweth nigh. That's what it's all about. Now, in this generation, you're going to see a lot of trouble. All you've got to do is look around you today, and you can see that trouble. All the nations at war, and usually it's a religious war. So, no one understands. Our Father told us, this is going to happen. Don't let it be a surprise to you. He said, it's going to happen. But He is slow to anger. I want you to go to the Minor Prophets, the great book of Amos, and go to chapter 9, if you would, and we'll be reading from there in a moment. Our Father has warned both in the Old Testament and the New that vengeance belongeth to Him. When the day comes and that time is right, He intends to make things right. All those even that have offended His election, that is to say, those that love Him, many of them have to pay for it today, because our Father says, touch not mine anointed, touch not those that have the seal of God in their forehead. You'll find that written in Revelation chapter 9, verse 4. And with that statement, He wants you to know that He loves you. And even also, as it is written in Luke chapter 21, that not one hair on your head can be bothered by the enemy, nor will God. Why? He loves you. And love runs deep, and love runs true. And you don't have to worry. Our Father loves those that love Him. Now, Amos chapter 9, let's pick it up there, where he speaks of another shaking, a quaking. The etymology of this word quake probably comes from originally the word wave, like a sea wave, you know, that just keeps hammering, keeps trembling, and then brought up into a shaking, like a trembling, a fear within yourself. You don't have to do that. You don't have anything to worry about. That's the beauty of Christianity, is that you have that security. And who is your security? Your Father. He loves you. Okay, Amos chapter 9, verse 1. Listen to it. The words of your Father. I saw the Lord standing up on the altar. This is the altar of God. And He said, smite the lintel of the door, that the post may shake, and cut them in the head, all of them. And I will slay the last of them with the sword. He that fleeth of them shall not flee away, and he that escapeth of them shall not be delivered. And boy, many people read that, and, you know, Christians have a way of getting on a guilt trip. They just automatically, they just start saying, boy, that sounds bad. But it sounds bad to his enemy. Not talking about those that love him. And, you know, when you love him, you're not perfect. You may be mature, but you're not perfect, and it's real easy for those guilt feelings to slip in. You suppress them, okay, as best you can to know. That is after repentance, okay, because they don't exist any longer. Again, that's the beauty of Christianity. That sounds, you know, what is it, the lintel of the door, what is it you're supposed to have on your doorpost, okay, spiritually speaking now? What happened on Passover night? They put the blood of the lamb on the doorpost, and the death angel had to pass over. Likewise here, if you have the blood of Christ spiritually speaking, on your doorpost, Father's not angry at you. He passes over, doesn't have any influence whatsoever on those that love Him. Verse 2, though they, this is the enemy again, though they dig into hell, thence shall mine hand take them, though they climb up to heaven, thence will I bring them down. They can work out their own salvation all they want to, just like they tried to build the Tower of Babel once to get up above the flood to save themselves. It doesn't matter. I'm going to have my vengeance. Okay. 3. And though they hide themselves in the top of Carmel, this means a beautiful plush place. It's a park, okay? A garden. I will search and take them out thence, and though they be hid from my sight in the bottom of the sea, thence will I command the serpent, and he shall bite them. In other words, there's no hiding from our Father if you're wicked. Okay? Just not going to happen. Likewise, there's nothing you have to be concerned or worried about if you love Him. Okay? That, you know, do you understand that's what He wants from you? He doesn't want your burnt offerings. He wants you to love Him. He created you, as it's written in Revelation chapter 4, the last verse, for His pleasure. Again, He loves you. He wishes no harm upon you. But I guarantee you, as you read, you can see it's going to be pretty tough on those that don't love Him, those that work against Him, those that just try to remove the name of God from the vocabulary of children. It's going to ricochet, and boy, are they going to get it, okay? Verse 4, and though they go into captivity among their enemies, thence will I command the sword, and it shall slay them, and I will set mine eyes upon them for evil and not for good. I'm not going to have a good thought about them. That day's coming, friend, when Father gets fed up. So don't worry about the trouble you've got today. He will always sustain us in how to take care of business. So don't get shook up on your first cruise every time you think the world's falling apart. It's just getting into shape as He said it would. And though He is slow to anger, it's building. And we're working toward that day. And the Lord of hosts is He that toucheth the land, and it shall melt. Here again is that threat. And all that dwell therein shall mourn, and it shall rise up wholly like a flood, like that wave shaking, and shall be drowned as by the flood of Egypt. Now, again, who's He talking about? He's not talking about those He loves. Is it not amazing how often you have to remind Christians, He's not talking to you. He's not talking about you. He's talking about those that stir trouble in this world and teach atheism or that goes against God. Okay. Verse 6. It is He that buildeth His stories. That's to say His spheres. The Milky Way. The very heavens themselves. Look up at them. In the heaven. And hath founded His truth in the earth. Who is His truth in the earth? You know who it is today? It's His election. And He's not angry at them. He founded them. He chose them before the foundations of the world, whereby they could serve Him. You know why? They stood against Satan, and they're going to again. He knows they've got it, that they can cut it. Can-do type people. He that calleth for the waters of the sea and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is His name. And of course, this is uppercase, it's Yahweh in the Hebrew tongue, our Heavenly Father. So, He's in charge. So where does that leave you? Nothing to worry about. Okay. Why? He loves you. He's going to protect you. He is your security. And boy, does He know how to take care of our enemies. For they are the enemies of God. Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, saith the Lord? Have not I brought up Israel out of the land of Egypt? And the Philistines from Capta and the Syrians from Kir. In other words, I've guided you. It wasn't just a migration. I took care of it. And are you like these that worship Baal? For this country was a great Baal worshiper. 8, behold, the eyes of the Lord are upon the sinful kingdom. The eyes of the Lord when he's in anger are upon who? Sinful kingdom. And I will destroy it from off the face of the earth, saving that I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob, saith the Lord. That's his promise. Why? Because of those he has founded in his election, those that love him, and quite frankly, open in Christianity, whomsoever will. Doesn't matter who they are, if they love him, if they follow him, if they care. Hey, you have that protection net around you as long as you use common sense. Father has nothing against you other than to protect you and to love you. It's a beautiful place to be, beloved. It just doesn't get any better, okay, just to be in the Father's arms. In that day, I read 10, I'm going to read it again. All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, which say, the evil shall not overtake nor prevent us. If you don't love him, it's going to. You play around with strange fire, and it's going to burn you. You have to remain focused on the Word of God. Or, hey, bye, have a good trip, enjoy yourself as long as you can. You want to let Father lead, guide, and direct. 11. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen and close up the breaches thereof. And I will raise up his ruins and I will build it as in the days of old. That throne of David, whose rightful throne is it today? It's Christ's throne. Okay. Jesus Christ himself, he shall return. When he raises that up, that is the second advent when Christ himself sits upon that throne, the throne of David. And justice is issued and from all ports. Verse 12. That they may possess the remnant of Edom, listen carefully, and of all the heathen, which, here's a condition, which are called by my name, meaning they are Christian, saith the Lord, that doeth this. It's his plan. I don't care who you are, if you love him, if you are called by his name, Christian, he's going to protect you. You're going to be saved. I don't care where you are. Edom is Esau's country. That's Russia. Okay. Doesn't matter where you are. He's going to save you if you love him. That makes the difference. 13, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper and the treader of grapes him that soweth seed. And the mountain shall drop down sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. What? Flowing with milk and honey. And what he's saying, I'm going to make all this up to you ultimately. You can count on it. Boy, have we got something nice to look forward to. Whatever little bit of problems you go through today, you smile about it. And thank God for the challenge, because you can cut it. You can take care of it. And get ready for the blessings, because he will even bless you today. Okay. It is his promise. 14, and I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel. And they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. You're not going to be taxed out of everything you own. You're not going to have some middleman taking it all away from you. You raise it, you're going to enjoy it. And they shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. Again, alone, by themselves, what you do, what you grow, what you provide, it's yours. And I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God. So, the wicked world is in trouble. It's in more trouble than it could even imagine. The wicked in the world, if they only knew that our Father, he controls the sea. He controls all things. And that quake, which the word quake, like an earthquake, that's a shaking. And he's promised, I'm going to shake them good. And he will, and he shall. Now, in this same Minor Prophets, go to the book of Nahum. Book of Nahum. Nahum in the Hebrew tongue means compassionate counselor. God to give you counsel that shows his compassion, that leads you, that directs you, that loves you. Now, you remember what Nineveh is about, the Assyrian. It was prophesied, they're going to overtake Israel. And the Assyrian is one of the names for Antichrist, example in Isaiah chapter 14. So, he is a type, the head of these people of Nineveh. Though the city was saved for a while, why? Because of the fish god. You all know that story. And at the same time, though, they were to approach and be the enemy of Israel. And they were. They were an enemy of God because they did not stick with it. So let's pick it up in chapter 1, verse 1. The burden of Nineveh, this word burden doesn't mean like you would in the English. It means the oracle, or you can count on it. This is the word for Nineveh. The book of the vision of Nahum, the Elkoshite, to God is jealous. And the Lord revengeth. You can count on it. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. Now, tell me honestly what you read there. Did you start shaking in your boots? You shouldn't have. He was very specific in declaring he's angry at his enemies, and you're not an enemy of God. And really, there is a shaking coming, and I want you to know above all, it's not toward you. It doesn't have anything to do with you. So don't you fear it, and don't you worry about it. It's the shaking of our Father, and because that jealousy. He's a jealous God. He doesn't like it when he created all the souls. All the souls belong to him. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4. You don't get around to giving him your soul. He's already got it. Okay, it's his to do with as he chooses. And in within that, he loves his children. But boy, does he take care of anyone that bothers them. He's jealous. He does not, after having created them, want them whoring around after a false god like the Antichrist. That really gets to him. Okay. And, he uses these emotions. He said, how would you feel, well, in Mark 13, how would you feel if your husband had been away for 2,000 years and came back and you were suckling a child? He puts it in this language so you can understand emotionally how he feels about it. Why he's jealous? If you fall off to the spurious Messiah because you listen to some fairy tale about fly away, okay, instead of staying in the field doing the Father's work. Of course he's jealous. So stay true. He's not angry at you. He's angry at the enemy, those that would come against him, those that would misuse him, and especially the spurious Messiah that is going to try to play Jesus, Savior. And he's going to save a lot of people right straight to hell, is what he's going to do. If you don't understand that, put it on the shelf and relax, okay? Verse 3, the Lord is slow to anger. Boy, he's got patience. That's what that means. And great in power and will not at all acquit the wicked. There's no way they're going to get away with it. Unless they repent, of course, then they're no longer what? Wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm and the clouds or the dust of his feet. He can do whatever he chooses. He is the I am that I am. He rebuketh the sea and maketh it dry, and drieth up all the rivers. Bashan languisheth, and Carmel, and the flower of Lebanon languisheth. These are all parks and beautiful garden places. They dry up if the Father so chooses. The mountains quake. There's that shaking at Him. And the hills melt and the earth is burned at His presence. Yea, the world and all that dwell therein, who can stand? Six. Who can stand before His indignation, His anger? And who can abide in the furiousness of His anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by Him. What is your Father? He's a consuming fire. And what does that fire do to you? It's the Holy Spirit. It warms your heart. It lifts you. It protects you. It comforts you. But boy, those that are staunchy on the rudiments, that is evil, that would mislead His children, hey, that fire does a little more than warm their heart. It can turn people's souls to ashes. Verse 7, the Lord is good. That's a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knoweth them that trust in Him. That you can rest assured of. He's good. He's just. He's not going to mistreat you. Quite frankly, He's not going to let somebody else too badly mistreat you. First of all, He gave you a brain. He expects you to use it to know how to take care of the wicked yourself, okay? How to avoid certain situations. But then what you can't handle, I guarantee you, He will. And He does a real good job of it. He is good and just. And He knows your very heart and mind as if you love Him or not. Okay? He can read your mind. And so don't ever try to con Him, okay? That doesn't pay dividends. But He is so very good, and He loves those that trust in Him. Verse 8, but with an overrunning flood, He will make an utter end of the place thereof, and darkness shall pursue His enemies. Who? His enemies. Especially in this generation, I want you to keep that in mind. God is going to let the severity continue. There's going to be troubles, and there's a shaking coming, but it's not directed at you. It will not harm you. It will not bother you. That's why you can put your faith in Him, and you can rest assured He does take care of His own, and He knows of a certainty who loves Him, who trusts Him. Verse 9, what do you imagine against the Lord? I mean, what do you really think about the Father? He will make an utter end. Affliction shall not rise up the second time. You know why it won't be necessary? There won't be any need for God to make a second attack. Why? The first is quite sufficient. He does a good job at everything He does in protecting His own and in taking care of the wicked. There will be no need for a second attack. Verse 10, for while they be folded together as thorns, and while they are drunken as drunkards, they shall be devoured as stubble, fully dry. They can weave a basket or weave them a crown, whatever they want to do. But when He gets through with the fire, He being that consuming fire, they will be corrected one way or the other. 11, there is one come out of thee that imagineth evil against the Lord, a wicked counselor. Now, of course, this was the Assyrian, the Ninevites who were using as a type, okay? That was the Assyrian. And again, the Assyrian, as you will read in Isaiah chapter 14 concerning Lucifer, is a type of the Antichrist. Your companion Bible will back me up on that when you read of the Assyrian in that particular chapter. But that is that wicked counselor. He shall come. Jesus himself said in Mark 13, Matthew 24, and Luke 21, not maybe the Antichrist shall come, but the Antichrist, the false Christ, shall come. And not only that, his fake preachers will come along with him. So you want to be prepared for it. It's going to happen. That wicked counselor. You know, this is fine. This is God's way of checking you out. Can you be had? Can you be deceived? Would you go with that wicked counselor? God knows. You wouldn't. Okay. You're not. If anything, you're anxious to stand against the wicked counselor and allow the Holy Spirit to speak through you, to right things, to correct things, to with compassion, as the word Nahum in the Hebrew means, to with compassion to counsel those that are about to fall into the fire and pull them back. The salvation of Almighty God, the fact that He loves them, cares for them. That wicked counselor, there will be many that will listen to him. And it is your obligation, as it is written in Mark 13, to stand against him. Verse 12, thus saith the Lord, though they be quiet, this is to say, though they really be secure, is what the word means in the Hebrew, and likewise many, yet thus shall they be cut down when he shall pass through. Though I have afflicted thee, I will afflict thee no more. In other words, when he cleans house, that's going to be it. He's going to clean it, but good. Verse 13, for now will he break his yoke from off thee and will burst thy bounds in sunder. When my pages stuck together a while ago, it pulled those words off and I had to pick them up from memory, what was written, because they're not in my Bible anymore. I don't know what I got there, but I'll have to do a little scribe work here. But anyway, our Father is going to break that yoke. Whatever it is that has you bound, and there shouldn't be anything, Christianity sets you free. If you've used this, okay, if you've used this as best you can, you're going to be in good shape, okay? You don't have anything to worry about. And he'll break the rest of those yokes, all right, of this false counselor. 14. And the Lord hath given a commandment concerning thee, that no more of thy name be sown, no more of thy name be sown. Out of the house of thy gods will I cut off the graven image and the molten image, and I will make thy grave, for thou art vile. You know, there is that time coming that there's not going to be any more wicked among us. Father has a grave made for them. You probably know of it as hell, okay? Or you may know what correctly is the lake of fire, and that our Father is that consuming fire that blots out that is evil, okay? You're not going to have to worry about it. That's why it pays such great dividends at this time, to let him know you love him, to let him know you're his, that you can't be had. You're not going to be deceived. You have the truth, the seal of God in your forehead. Therefore, you will not listen to lies. Why, how do you know? Chapter by chapter and verse by verse, let God speak and let no man change it. Verse 14, and the Lord hath given... Oh, we got that. Okay, 15. Behold, upon the mountains the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, O Judah, keep thy solemn feast, perform thy vows, for the wicked shall no more pass through thee. He is utterly cut off. That day's coming. But we've got work to do up until then. Don't get on a guilt trip and start shaking and get all out of sequence. Remain focused on the Word of God. He's not angry at you. Though it might seem the world is falling apart, He's going to protect you. I don't care where you are. I don't care what nation you're in. If you love him, you're going to have that protection. And likewise, the opposite side of that coin, if you are his enemy, I don't care what nation, I don't care what hole, or wherever you try to hide, he's got you. And our Father is able. He keeps his word. Now, we've read this. I wanted to read this especially from the Old Testament because it is so very up-to-date. But we started out in the New Testament in 2 Peter chapter 3 where it speaks of the three world ages, you know, the one before this, this one, and the one that's coming, okay, eons of time. And not three different worlds. We got the same old world. But three different ages of time. Those of you that have never studied it, your companion Bible, Appendix 146, will help you a great deal on the katabo in the Greek, the verb, the overthrow of Satan. So, he warns us again in the New Testament, and I want to go there in closing. Hebrews chapter 12. Inasmuch as you know that a great shaking is coming, it's God's promise. You better be careful about what you're standing on. Okay. You want to stand on something that cannot be shaken. And that something is the foundation, and you know what that foundation is. It's Christ. And you better keep that in focus. Otherwise, you might get shaken off the end or the side or somewhere. Stay focused. In closing, we're going to read a few verses here from this 12th chapter of the great book of Hebrews. And there is ever so much concerning the race that this chapter starts with. A great cloud of witnesses. God's elect are that cloud of witnesses spoken of earlier in this chapter. And how that God corrects or chastises those he loves. If he didn't love you, he wouldn't chastise you, okay? But he wants you to stay fit and in place. And he even calls Esau a male prostitute in verse 16. The word fornication is pronos, which is a male prostitute. And comes up to this point. Giving warning, okay? And then in verse 22, here comes our subject, the shaking. Verse 22 of Hebrews chapter 12. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. Talking about the second advent. Now, compare this, what he has just compared it to, is the first time Israel went up to Mount Sinai. And God spoke, and boy, they fell down, trembled, scared them to death. Okay? But it's not going to frighten you to hear your Father speak. When you go to that heavenly Zion, okay, which is spiritual truth. Okay? It's the truth of God's Word. The words that Christ spoke. Okay? Verse 23. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, in the book of life, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, made mature. Just men means justified. This is a doc in the Hebrew tongue. You all are familiar with God's election. Verse 24, and to Jesus, the mediator, that's the go-between of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Abel's blood cried out from the ground that Cain had murdered him. Christ's blood cries out to leave my people alone. Bring salvation to my people. And verse 25, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. Now, we're not talking about the false counselor here. He warned you one was coming. Don't listen to him. Listen to the truth. Listen to Christ himself after the advent, after the tribulation of Satan, after the tribulation of that false counselor, then listen to he that speaks, for if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. In the second advent, when that Holy Spirit speaks through God's elect, his anointed, the just people, those he has chosen. Verse 26, whose voice then shook the earth. Is that shaking? But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. There's a great shaking coming, beloved. You better get set for it. Okay? That shake-up is coming. Where are you going to be? Well, let me tell you something. It doesn't matter where you are. He's going to take care of you. Right? 27, listen carefully. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of the things that are made, created, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Do you know who remains? God's election, those that love him. Why? They're on the rock. They're on Christ. They cannot be shaken. But guess where all the enemy is? And you know something? Remember the millennium. What a work bed that's going to be. Because a lot are going to be shaken off that never had an opportunity to hear the truth. They're going to hear it then. That's not a second chance. They didn't have a prayer of a chance coming out the gate if they weren't prepared for the shaking. Verse 28. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, get a hold of that. Grab onto it. Cannot be moved. Let us have grace, that's unmerited favor, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. You want to serve him? Then just love him. That's what he wants from you. And whatever talents he might have given you, utilize them. And don't be bashful. Talk to him. He hears you. He loves you and he knows you. And you belong to a nation that cannot, I repeat, cannot be moved. It is the kingdom of Almighty God. And it is established in the Son. So listen to him and listen to his word when he brings that peace. And verse 29, don't ever forget this. For our God is a consuming fire. He is a fire that can warm you within. He is a fire that gives you warmth and reason for living. He is a fire that brings forth a love that is just awesome in the fact of his power in protecting and doing for his children. He's long-suffering, but he's jealous. He's long-suffering, but it's going to boil over. There's going to be a shaking. Man will have very little to do with it after that. It will be God's leadership and God's election that, as it was written in the scripture we read, the truth he has founded here on earth, because Christ will not come at the second advent until all of his enemies are made his footstool. Guess who he's chosen to do that? Be strong. Be faithful. Let him know you love him. He is a consuming fire, but a fire that cleanses. He is also a fire that blots out. In other words, when he blots out, you're not going to listen to old Uncle Henry scream in hell for a lifetime. Okay? That wouldn't be heaven. Okay? At least I don't want to go to a heaven where we got to listen to those people scream for a lifetime. He's simply as though they never existed. That's what blotting out does. In good riddance, okay? If by the end of the millennium, if they don't come around, there's no hope. Okay? And so it is. We don't want another mess like we've got today. Now, there's a shaking coming. You can read and listen to trouble, trouble, trouble. Don't worry. Don't worry. Father's going to take care of business. He always does. That shaking is coming. And you don't have a thing to worry about as long as you use this. Okay? In other words, if you're dumb enough to step out in front of a road grader, you know, God's going to say, well, let him go. Okay? You know, you gotta use this. He expects his children to be sharp. And one of the brightest bulbs in the house. Okay? So let him know you love him. That's what he wants from you. And boy, does that pay dividends. Do you want to know where the scriptural proof of that is? It's Hosea chapter 6, verse 6. He says there, I don't want your burnt offerings. I want your grace, which is to say your love, your unmerited favor toward me. That's what I want. That's why he created you, because he's family. Okay. He's family and he loves you. Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you, Father, even for the shaking that's coming that rights this old world, Father, this world age. And we prepare and make ready for the eon to come. We thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen, amen.